Welcome to the Scalable Real Estate Investing Podcast, where we discuss the most scalable strategies, tools, and approaches to successfully invest in real estate. Learn how to make the most impact of your time, automate your real estate investing business, find off-market deals with minimum time invested, and leverage your capital to create as many income streams as possible so that you can achieve true financial independence. Thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Mason Clement.
Hi everyone, Mason Clement here. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to ask you one question. Are you sick of the wild swings in the stock market and ready to try something different? Did you know that investing in stocks actually put you at the very bottom of a company's capital structure, meaning that there's practically 0% chance that you're going to get any of your money back in the event that the company files bankruptcy? That basically you're putting yourself in the riskiest position for a questionable return. Personally, I hate the unpredictability and just waking up and having half of my investment gone when I didn't do anything wrong. So what a lot of people don't know is that you can actually make higher returns on a consistent basis by investing in the opposite end of the capital structure, which is actually the safest place to be, which is on the debt side in a first lien position. And you can do that by investing in real estate and specifically investing with my company in notes that are backed by the land that we purchase. So if you're ready to diversify your income stream, go ahead and go over to scalablereI.com and click on invest in the top right corner. There you're going to find a form that you can fill out to determine if you're eligible to invest with my company, Celion Capital, and we'll be reaching out to you to schedule an introductory call and speak more from there. So thanks a lot, and let's jump into the episode.
Hi, Scalable Investors. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Scalable Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Mason Clement. And today we have Jasmine Salinas with us, who is a serial entrepreneur. She is a co-sponsor in 880 multifamily doors, over 170 units as a limited partner. And she's also investing in land, which is always a fun topic to discuss. So thought I'd have her on the show to discuss her journey and how she's able to juggle all these different things. She's also co-author of a book called Powerful Female Immigrant and also founder of She, which we'll get into here shortly. So Jasmine, what's going on? How are you today?
Hey, Mason. Thank you so much for having me. It's amazing to be here and just share a little bit about our real estate journeys and the things that we've been up to.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I'm glad you could make some time. For those that don't know, we had a chance to meet at Tim Eye's Capital Raising Summit in Houston a few weeks back, and I thought it would be great to just have you on here. So in case people aren't familiar with you, why don't you just discuss your journey and your in real estate investing and just overall what's brought you up to now?
Sure. So I've been in real estate for the last 4 years, and my main business is just land, just like you mentioned. I buy and resell land mainly in Houston, and I just stay in Texas. And just flipping land. And 2 years ago, I was thinking, like, what should I do next? I know I have to do something else because this is like grow your money, but that's it. Like, kind of like get rich quick, but you're not building anything for the long term. So I was just exploring all the venues on real estate, what else I could do. And I came across multifamily. I attend one real estate summit about multifamily and commercial real estate. And that's when my third eye opened. I was like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. How quick you can scale the risk, you know, instead of having a duplex or a fourplex, because that's what I was trying to buy. You know, you have tenants for 100 units, you know, that are paying rent for 100 units, 200 units. So of course the risk drops a lot. So that was the other one. And then the tax benefits. So that's when I got hooked. I was like, this is what I need to do next. However, it was very overwhelming because, so first of all, I didn't know anything about multifamily. I didn't have the network to buy these kind of assets, and it was just new. So what I did, I just started connecting with people who was already doing it, and I just try to find a way to add value to them instead of me waiting until I can figure everything out, understand the whole underwriting and lending and all that part. So it's definitely a team sport. So I just try to plug with the movers and shakers in the industry.
Okay. So did you just attend conferences like the one we met at, and that's how you met people? Or how did you go about doing that?
So when I decided, like, this is what I want to do next, I started connecting with people who was based out of Houston and who was aligned with what I wanted to do. And I'm part of a network with Grant Cardone. So I started connecting with people from the same network because, you know, we kind of have like the same mindset and drive and all that. So I started connecting with them and I came across Mike Bailey. He is one of the principals at Massive Capital. And I told him, like, this is what I want to do. This is what I can do for you. You know, this is how I can add value to you. Can we work together?
Okay. So what was that pitch in terms of how you can add value?
So my background is in sales. So I was just thinking, like, let me start with where I am, with what I have. So to me, it was easier to just go and start in investor relations, talk to investors, tell them about our deals and all that, than just doing something else. So that's, I told them, like, my background is in sales. This is what I can do.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I guess that's always a need for any person that's invested in commercial real estate or just real estate in general, is expanding the investor base. So makes sense.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I thought, like, everybody in this room has deals, and who doesn't need money for their deals? Like, if you can become really good at capital raising or just bring in money, like, pretty much that opens the doors for you to work with whoever you want to work and do whatever you want.
Okay. What kind of sales did you have a background in?
All industries. So I did customer service audits for several companies. That was one of my startups. I did just like for banks, all kind of industry, automobile industry, just like doing background. I mean, doing audits for customer service. And I also did sales for a real estate investment firm. So that's when I kind of like understood how the real estate world works on our land. It was just like a smaller, well, they usually did like single family land and a smaller multifamily. So that was just like my boot camp to real estate.
Oh, that's cool. Is that how you got involved in the land investing side of things?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Cool. And I guess are you using primarily your own capital to buy the land, or is it some JV stuff, or how's that work?
Yeah, right now, that's the strategy that I'm using. I buy with my own capital and close on the land and just sell them, you know. That allows me to focus on the multifamily and all my commercial deals. And then when the land sells, it sells, you know. I don't really have to be under the clock on 60 days. So I don't do any land entitlement or clear the lots. It's just like, to me, it's like a way to be free, like, and how invest that time in my multifamily deals.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Have you noticed like a slowdown, like taking longer to sell your properties recently?
100%. I think everything started last year. I usually just like within a month, I was closing on them and reselling them like within the month. Now it's been, last year it took a little longer. At one point I was stuck with 6 properties and nothing was selling. It was just crickets in the market. And I was like, oh my gosh, that really hurt me because, you know, all my money is there. So yeah, I definitely see some slowdown, but I think it's picking up now slowly. It's coming again. What do you see?
Yeah, I've experienced exactly the same thing. And I think we're both kind of biased because we're both sticking to Texas. And I think Texas is one of those markets where it's been really strong for a while. And now, like when interest rates started increasing last year, the hype seemed to kind of die down and kind of have a damper on everything, obviously. And I've heard other land investors still having some great success in other markets. But if you look at like the sold to for sale ratio in Texas overall, it's kind of fallen off a cliff, apparently, down to like 0.12, like 12%. So like generally, like if it's a really, you know, strong market, the closer to one you are, the stronger the market is. Or sometimes if it's hyper competitive, for listeners that aren't familiar, it might be well over one, like might be 2 or 3, like certain markets in Florida or something. And at that point, I just don't bother getting involved because sometimes those margins can be so slim. It just doesn't make sense to chase after the deals. But yeah, I definitely echo what you just said there. Seems like stuff's going on now. There's always going to be some deals to do, but yeah, slower.
Yeah.
So I think when we first met, you said that initially you had invested as an LP in a few deals before going to the GP side. So can you talk about that process and just what it was like mentally and like how did you do your due diligence on the deal and the operator and all that stuff?
Yeah. So first of all, I invested in people before I invested in a deal. You know, you can have the best deal, the best location, but if the operators are not good, you know, everything can go south anytime. Or you can have a deal that is like hurting for different reasons, you know, like right now with interest rates and all that. But when you have a strong operators, I mean, they can go through that. So that was my first banking process. Like I wanted to invest with people that I trust, that I know they, if anything goes wrong, like they will know how to manage that. And the second part was like, I want to build a relationship for the long term with these operators. I don't want to just like, here's my money and that's it. Like everything that I do has a purpose, right? So it's like, I'm investing with you because I believe in you, but also because I see myself working with you in the future. Like we can partner up in some deals together. So that's how that was the mentality when I started like looking to invest as an LP. And that's when I came across Mike Valley. I mean, I connected with a lot of people, but Mike Valley from Massive Capital was the one who was aligned to what I wanted to do. And somebody who I could see myself like working in the long term, like being part business partners with. So that's how I approached to him. So I invested in our deals, you know, thinking that is a long-term relationship, like I want to be partners in the long term with you.
Okay, got it. And how many transactions or offerings did you invest in with them before they eventually gave you like GP equity after a while?
No, yeah. So it was like right away, because as I told you, I came across like, I want to get in this. This is what I can offer, right? So it's like, I'm also committed, you know, I have money to invest. So I invested in a complex apartment. It was 174 units in Georgia. But at the same time, like I was getting involved, pretty much I was working for free. Like, how can I help you? And just like basic stuff, like putting systems, hiring VAs, hiring a marketing company, all these things, you know, that at the beginning, it could be overwhelming, but if somebody has to do them, and if you can take off that off their plate, it's very helpful. So that's how I started. So I will say both things happen at the same time. It's not like, oh, you got to invest certain times before you can be in the GP. I was just already there, willing to help. How can I add value? Pretty much working for free and not asking like, what's going to be in it for me? And how much share I'm going to have in this deal that I'm not even part of? I was just helping them.
Okay. Perfect. And now you've also founded a group within Massive Capital called She. So why don't we discuss that a little bit?
Sure. So the purpose of She is she owns, she builds, and she invests, and she is me. It's just bringing all women together. One of the things that I realized is like for us who are already in the network, it's so easy to have access to all these amazing guys and all this network, you know, all the people that we connect on these events, just like yourself. But for most women out there, they don't have access to all that, to mentors, to partners like us. So one is just like giving them access to them, like giving back to the community what we have learned in all these masterminds, bringing our network, but also showing them like they can also do it. You know, this is a very highly male nominated industry. So we want to just open the doors for them. Like we all have different resources that we can bring, superpowers that we can bring to the table. And it's just all about collaborating, how we can become the best version of ourselves so we can collaborate better, you know, with you guys. So yeah, that's it. Just bringing the community together.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking at the website. It looks like y'all do some webinars like twice a month. Is that how you bring people together?
Yes. So we do it the first and the third Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. Central. And also we're going to start doing it in person in different cities. You know, one of the purpose with the brand is like, I own that brand, but every woman out there owns it. You know, like it's something that we all can relate, that we can be part of it. So we're actually working on starting the in-person, at least once a month, person events in different series. And then during the month, just having the Zoom calls for all of us.
Okay. That's great. And would it just be like a networking session in person or be some presentation? What would the structure look like?
Yeah, so networking, the main thing. And the second part, some educational part about investing and taking responsibility of your finances. And one of the things that we are very strong of is that we like to grow on our create wealth and grow our portfolios, invest, but at the same time grow on every single aspect, like personally, spiritually, like have everything aligned so we can become the best version of ourselves.
Okay. So with all this stuff going on, like She, Massive Capital, and Land and stuff, I'm just curious, what's a typical day look like, a day in the life for Jasmine?
So I get up, you know, I have to have my coffee, a couple coffee mugs. But one of the things, you know, one of my rituals is always start my day with gratitude. I'm always so grateful about all the things that I have. And one of the thoughts that I have is like, today I'm living at least one of my prayers. So one of the things that I used to pray for is happening now. So I'm grateful for that. I could never take for granted that. So that's one, starting in gratitude. And I like to have everything on my schedule. So I don't like to have any gaps, because then when you have gaps, you just start not being productive. So I have everything planned for the day. I like to dedicate 1 hour at least to my land deals. Everything else is like multifamily, and working out is also very, that's very important for me. I feel like health is the real world. So I work out one hour every day. Usually it's in the afternoon after, you know, all this craziness and all these meetings. Usually 7 to 8 is my time to work out and then just get ready for the next day.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, I'm just the opposite. I have to do it in the morning to start the day, but if I don't do my run on the treadmill, it's just not very useful for the day. So what's the workout routine that you do?
Well, I have a personal trainer, so I just go to the gym and he pretty much has something to push me on. A little mix of everything, you know, cardio, weights, and all that.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, I had a personal trainer when I lived in Austin. This was over 10 years ago. It was very helpful, though, just kind of lay the foundation and really kind of overcome that self-consciousness and the fear of, like, stepping into a gym and be worrying about, are people looking at me, or they're judging me, and all that stuff, you know? Like, just do your own workout. And what I always would tell myself is, like, I know I'm doing it the correct way now. Someone's taught me, so I don't have to even worry about anyone else there, you know? Just like my own gym.
Right. And you will be surprised, but nobody's paying attention. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, everybody. Like, for me, one of the reasons why I got a personal trainer is because I don't know how to use all of the equipment. So, it will take me a little to figure it out. And it's like, am I doing it right? And all those things. But, yeah, most people, they don't care. They are doing their own thing. It's just confidence.
Yeah, exactly. It builds that self-confidence. And I think it helps kind of get in the gym more, which is half the battle anyway. It's just showing up.
Exactly. Just like anything else, most of the time you just got to show up and it will happen.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, actually, I have a home gym now. So I got to find some used treadmill, and then I got a squat rack and a bar and some weights and stuff like that. But I don't live too far from an LA Fitness, so maybe should start going back there again. But when COVID hit and everything shut down, that's when I was like, well, I have to still continue working out. So that's why I got that equipment. So yeah, funny story. But I think that we glossed over it. Why don't we talk a little bit about kind of your experience? You're originally from Mexico, is that right?
Yes.
So what's that experience like? Did you get to the US by going to college here? Or were you younger than that when you came?
Yeah, well, I came when I was 18. And it was a very hard, it was very hard for me because I was already going to university over there. I was almost 19. So I was 2 years in university. I was building my career and, you know, starting a couple of startups. I was on the entrepreneurship program, getting my business degree. So when I came here, it was pretty much starting from scratch. It was very humbling. Because over there I was going to one of the top universities, and here it was like, oh, you got to start again. No, none of that counts. You got to start from scratch. Then I didn't speak the language, and then I was alone. So it was very mentally, probably very hard. So yeah, I just went to college, get a degree to understand and to learn the language and all that. So yeah, it was a little bit difficult, but also helped a lot that my family came over. So I'm the oldest of four siblings. So all of us came together. So it was a huge support.
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely helpful. So was that Houston? Did you go to school in Houston?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, cool. Which school did you go to over there?
Here in Houston or in Mexico? Here in Houston.
Houston.
I got my degree at San Jacinto College and then UH. Mm-hmm.
And U of H. All right. Nice. Very cool. Yeah, I'm familiar with some schools over there. I think maybe Rice is one of the most well-known ones, but yeah, very cool. All sorts of good schools.
Yeah, I have a funny story because, you know, I was studying in the top university in Mexico. So when I moved here, I was like, oh, yeah. So I applied to Baylor, Rice, and A&M because I wanted to just continue, right? But I didn't speak the language. So it was like, oh, you're not, you know, of course, I couldn't get in those universities. So maybe I'll go back for my MBA soon. I don't know. I was on Massive Capital, guys. So I was planning to get my MBA, but this is definitely my MBA now.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm a strong believer that real experience is going to trump anything that you learn in school, unless you're like doing maybe some apprenticeship type program, like really what kind of what you've done for yourself and just working and adding value to other people. So, yeah, I mean, even going to some of the best schools, I went to UT Austin, so arguably one of the better schools in the state, or maybe top whatever, depending on what school within the school you're looking at out of the country. But looking back, it's like, wow, I think that I learned a lot more by, you know, joining different real estate invest mastermind groups and hiring mentors and networking with people to really learn how to actually make money and all that.
Exactly. Oh, yes.
Okay. Cool. Well, just to round things out here, I know you don't focus primarily on acquisitions, everything, but can you just give us like a high level of how your team's making deals work right now and like kind of what y'all, or what challenges y'all are having to deal with like in today's higher interest environment?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that is going across the whole industry. We all know that interest rates are skyrocketing, and I think we have two more races coming up. So we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. Good thing that we have a really strong team on the undergrading. Like we have underwrote over 350 deals this year. So almost 400 now. That was last month. But we have underwrote like 400 deals. So every day we're underwriting the acquisition team. And when we bring a deal to our investors, it's because we already went through a lot to just take it to the finish line. We have to be extremely conservative. And one of the things that has been helping us a lot in this market is starting into the new construction for retail spaces. You know, like when the multifamily is hurting for interest rates, insurance, and all that, we are able to do new construction for retail spaces. So that is helping us a lot. One of the things that we say is like, at Massive Capital is like Whole Foods, you know, with deals. Like we have the best, and just investors come and pick what they better fit their investment criteria.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. Why new construction for retail?
So this is a partnership that we did. Like we merged with a very strong company based out of here in Houston. They've been doing that for over 40 years, but they usually get money from retail, from not for retail, but for family office, for institutional. So with us, we bring money from retail investors. So retail investor money is way cheaper. And the other part is like most of the time they sell the properties, you know, like for developers, they will understand like you buy, you build, and then you sell. That's kind of like the model that they have, like buy new construction, they build, they start leasing, and they sell. Now with us, we're going to be able to hold some assets and keep the cash flow. You know, it's going to be part of our portfolios because this is like AAA class locations. Like right now we're working in one in Austin, like prime location, and it's like new construction. So you can easily leverage that and keep it as part of your portfolio instead of having to sell it.
Okay, very cool. What'd you say is kind of the allocation or like total percentage across like multifamily or retail or other property types for Massive Capital?
So in our portfolio?
Yeah, or just like in general, different investment offerings that y'all focus on, that y'all make available to investors.
Yeah, so mainly right now we have a multifamily because we just partnered up with this company. So most of our deals right now are apartment buildings, and we are start building the new construction with them together. So we're just kicking that off.
Okay, but you said that's retail space. Did you mean kind of like mixed use where you have retail on bottom and multifamily on top?
Yeah, we do both. Yeah, like one in Montgomery that is mixed use. First floor is all retail, and then second and third floor is multifamily. And we also do just like retail spaces. Like the one in Austin is just retail spaces. So we do
okay.
Both.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah, and just the last question, back to the looking at over 400 deals, how many people do y'all have that do all this underwriting on your team?
Oh, in the underwriting is three people that are like part of Massive Capital, but we also have our coaching program where all the students learn, you know, most of the students, everybody needs to learn how to underwrite. So all our students are hands on deck, like they are underwriting deals with us. So altogether it's like 15 people who are underwriting, you know, like I would say like three full time from Massive Capital, and then all the students. One of the things that we say is like, it's like, you know, if you want to learn underwriting, is most of the coaching programs out there is just like, here are the videos, watch them, and then go get a deal. It's like learning how to swim with videos, right? So we actually have, it's like an underwriting lab where everybody is underwriting every day. You have properties in your market and you are like all hands on deck.
Okay, cool. If someone wanted to learn more about how to join that program, how would they do that?
Sure, they can visit our website, massive.capital/coaching, and they can get all the information.
Okay, perfect. And if they want to reach out to you, what's the best way they can contact you directly?
They can go same to our website, massive.capital/Jasmine, and Jasmine spells J-A-Z-M-I-N. I have an ebook that they can download and just learn about a little bit about my story. You know, we briefly got into coming to this country and building my real estate portfolio. And they can also book a call with me there or social media.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I'll put those links in the show notes as well. But I think that we've hit on most everything I wanted to discuss. So Really appreciate you making yourself available.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. This has been amazing. So hopefully you guys got value, and thank you so much, Mason.
Sure. You're welcome.
Hey guys, I appreciate you taking the time to listen or watch this episode. As you might have noticed, we don't run ads, but what I would like you to do is just subscribe to our YouTube channel. That would help us out tremendously. You don't even have to leave a review, but if you do feel like you had gained a lot of value from this episode, feel free to share it with your friends and comment, like, subscribe, all that. But subscribing to YouTube would be what helps us the most. That's the only thing I ask. Thanks a lot. And if you do want to get in touch with me, feel free to email me at mason@scalablerei.com. Thanks a lot.